you know how they say in the restaurants when you work the close and then the open, they call it the clopin.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the clopin. It's like closed last night. I'm opening this morning. I'm going to close again tonight. And then I'm opening again tomorrow morning. So
wow. Triple nice header.
So we're going to be buzzing.
Score! Johnny Toronto! I wonder if they can hear it on Long Island.
2-0. Riley Rostovic. Great save by Anderson. Riley stayed onside. The late man Matthews. Great move. What a goal. Beauty. Austin Matthews.
Matthews flipped it up for Marner. Mitch Marner centering. Hyman to the net. Scores!
He took fast down and his jockstrap is in the corner.
Here we go, episode 21 of Not Another Leafs Podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Ken Stapon joined by Brendan McCarthy. And a reminder that this podcast is brought to you by DraftKings. Have you ever wanted to give yourself better odds on winning a bet? Well, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you the chance to do just that. For every 1,000 bets that hammer the over in Sunday's Denver versus LA game, the over-under will drop by 1 point. Yes, it will drop by 1 point. The best part is that even as the line lowers, the odds remain the same at even money. That's right. You can double your money by hammering the over. If that isn't enough excitement for you, there's a huge fight happening this weekend at UFC 258. And don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook also offers great odds and promotions on basketball, hockey, and so much more all week long. So remember to bet on the Maple Leafs puck line against the Habs that they covered last night. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. What are we asking you to do? Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up. Hammer the over on Sunday night's basketball game when LA takes on Denver and improve your odds, doubling your money. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings, life's more fun with skin in the game. BMAC, the Maple Leafs had some skin in the game last night against their division rivals, the Montreal Canadiens. And a 4-2 win, as I mentioned before, nailing the puck line against the second best team in the Canadian division as far as the standings are concerned. Big win for Toronto against what's likely the stiffest competition they're going to face all year.
Welcome in, everybody. It's episode 21, Borya Salming. Huge, huge W. And
Borya. You
know, Borya, or I was also thinking JVR, but I don't want to, you know, put those guys in the same class. But number-wise, you know, yeah, we're going to say JVR and Borya Salming. But man, I know every day, every night we hear about playing a full 60 minutes, but, you know, hearing Justin Hall saying, you know, win a period, you win the game. And the Leafs really showed that in the third period. They came out firing on all cylinders and very, very happy for Hall to just unload a rocket that looked like a patented Ken Stapon slap shot in his division. What would you play again in the States?
We're a D2 team.
Okay.
The New Milford Green Wave Division II High School Hockey. Although we did
make it's hammer time, baby.
It's hammer time. Yeah, it was an unbelievable shot by Hall. And against Montreal, this game kind of reminded me again about the which game was it against the Canucks? Was it the third game against the Canucks where they're kind of a little bit flat and then you get a couple goals in a short span of time and it really turns the game around in your favor? I thought Montreal at times tonight was the dominant team, at least in the first 10 minutes, they certainly seemed to be. And Toronto just kind of sat back. They weathered the storm. I thought they did a really good job keeping the puck to the outside, which is so refreshing. Like, is Toronto a dominant defensive team now? I don't want to say dominant, but certainly there's an emphasis on that aspect of the game this year put on them by Sheldon Keefe and the coaching staff. And they seem to be just coming into these contests with a different mentality and are able to sort of just shut it down. You know, you go down 1-0 early and then just batten down the hatches, not give up another goal until late in the third period, and ultimately allow your team a chance to come back with a couple of quick goals in the third that are enough to give them the win.
Well, I had a chance to listen to the Habs pregame presser, and Josh Anderson was not lacking confidence. I mean, this is a team that knew everything that they were going to get from the Maple Leafs, the skill they possess. And Anderson saying too, like, you know, hey, we're a pretty good team as well. So it's going to be obviously a big battle, like it always is between the Leafs and Habs, but the better team ultimately won. And, you know, Montreal gave the Leafs ample scoring opportunities after they got on the board first, and really resilient of Anderson and the Leafs to keep composed and establish their rhythm, even though they gave up the opening marker 10 seconds in, because in past years, Kenny, that would probably deflate the Leafs and have them sinking as the game goes on, but they were able to pick it up and get production, not from their big dogs, but guys who were dying to get on the score sheet and well-deserved. Justin Hall, Travis Dermott pots his first goal, and Ilya Mikheyev finally hadn't scored since that awful, awful wrist injury last December. And man, talk about getting a monkey off your back. He just looked absolutely relieved. And the guys were so pumped for him.
Yeah, you talk about the goal droughts. I mean, I can't remember when Travis Dermott's last goal was, but certainly for Justin Hall, it was last February. So this has been a long time coming for all three of these players. You mentioned Josh Anderson. He's able to get the first goal for the Canadiens, puts it right between the wickets on Frederik Andersen. Nice play by Andersen, and that's four straight games for a goal with Andersen. So obviously he's feeling confident. You understand his confidence in his pregame availability prior to the contest. But I thought that Toronto, again, was able to dictate the style of play that they on their terms. Whereas in the past, as you mentioned before, you know, you give up the early goal or the other team starts imposing their will on you physically, or they get the forecheck cooking, they want to gum up the neutral zone. It was the other way around. But I'm seeing out of this team this year is that they're saying, this is the style of play that we're going to give you. And we're going to be comfortable with that. We're going to block shots. We're going to collapse in around our goaltender and keep everything to the outside. And you might outshoot us, but the scoring chances aren't going to be there. And Sheldon Keefe in his post-game presser was talking about that. He suggested that this contest against Montreal, by according to the internal analytics team that they keep and all the stats that they keep inside the room, this was the game where they gave up the least scoring chances of the year. So that shows you what Sheldon Keefe thought of his team's effort. I thought it was a complete 60-minute effort, basically, for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, you know, when you get that secondary scoring, it's going to be tough to beat the squad, albeit Austin Matthews. One good note for the Habs is that I guess they broke Matthews' goal streak at 8. So something they can hang their hat on despite losing to the Maple Leafs. And they go back at it again now on Saturday night.
And it's interesting, too, with the schedule, the condensed schedule. Montreal has to They got to try and defend and control Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, who went pointless in an Oilers win the other night for the first time in 4 years, which is crazy. Just shows how they're carrying the load in Edmonton since 2016. But it's going to probably play a huge factor. I mean, the Leafs go right home and are going to await Montreal in Toronto Saturday night, but this kind of puts a little jam in their schedule. Saturday night, Kenny, is going to be really a luxury for the Leafs, considering they'll have ample days to prepare and recover for Montreal again. And they're going to probably get a bit of wind taken out of their sails after playing a two-headed monster in oil country.
They got a game against Montreal in 2 days, and then they got to squeeze in three against the Sens next week, including a back-to-back. And then they're up against the Canadiens again on Saturday night. So that shows you what the people at Hockey Night in Canada think of this matchup. And traditionally, it's a big rivalry. And for me, I'm so excited as a hockey fan that both these teams are at the top of the division and actually competitive. Because how many times have we seen, you know, Ottawa's super competitive, but Toronto stinks, and then Toronto's great or playing well and Ottawa stinks. And Montreal, you know, they never seem to sync up in the same competitive window. That's certainly not the case this year for these two teams. And I expect now that they have, I think that's two out of the way. So 8 to go left on the docket between these two clubs. I'm excited to watch these matchups for the rest of the season because there's no love lost. And this is the most heat I've seen in this rivalry. It's only going to continue to heat up as we go down the line here in my lifetime, really, because they have neither team has been competitive at the same time.
Regarding last night and this season overall, from what I've seen through the first, quarter of the season, we'll say, Justin Hall and Jake Muzzin have been the Leafs' best D pairing by far. I mean, I thought Riley and Brody have looked pretty shaky at points. They looked pretty shaky last night. And Justin Hall, for me, we've stressed his game and how important he has been for this Leafs team. Obviously, he unloads a rifle, and he did a really, really effective job shutting down Tyler Toffoli, who was absent last night, considering the scoring tear he was on. And he got absolutely rocked in a vulnerable position by Corey Perry. I thought he was going to leave the game, but man, he was just doing it all over the ice. He has been the most efficient Leafs defenseman.
Justin Hall.
Yes.
Yeah, he's unreal. And I don't want to talk too much about the offseason chatter. You know, I hate the cap talk, and I hate, like, you know, talking about free agents or whatever during the season. I don't see any way that Justin Hall is not going to be the guy that's picked up by Las Vegas, or not Las Vegas, by Seattle.
The Kraken.
By the Kraken in the expansion draft. The only way that it's not going to be Justin Hall is if the Leafs re-sign Frederik Andersen and then protect him and leave Jack Campbell exposed, because then I would think likely the Kraken would probably take whichever one of those goalies is going to be available. He's been outstanding for the Maple Leafs this year. And really, they were talking about this on Overdrive. It's been one of the big wins from Kyle Dubas and the analytics department to find this guy. He was playing in the ECHL and, you know, not drafted, I don't believe, or if he was drafted, he was just kind of like cast to the side. They bring him into the organization. He has some solid years with the Marlies, wins a Calder Cup, and then now he's coming up and contributing with the big team. The big surprise for me is that this guy could not crack the lineup with Mike Babcock in town. Like, no, not at all.
Never.
I think he got scratched for 70 games.
Even though he had two goals
under Babcock's regime.
Even though he had two goals in his first two games, Babcock was like, eh.
Yeah, not a big
not good
fan.
Enough.
So he's been unreal. And what does it say about the Maple Leafs this season that you had mentioned before you weren't impressed necessarily by Brody or by Riley, and that you thought that this decor, or this deep pairing rather, was the best one? Like, they're still getting a ton of production, even though their top pairing isn't producing at the rate they do expect them to. Muzzin with three assists last night. We mentioned the goal by Justin Hall. Also, Travis Dermott finding the score sheet. Like, they're getting production out of guys that you wouldn't expect to be contributing
right
on the offensive side. So really impressive from Toronto. And really, I think coming into the season, if you ask the question, which decor would you rather have? Would you rather have Montreal's, or would you rather have Toronto? I think that unanimously we would have both said Toronto. I think anybody that was an unbiased hockey fan looking at the six or seven defensemen available would have said Montreal. But at the way that they're playing at this point, I got to be honest, I like the way that Toronto's decor is really gelled and is coming together as one cohesive unit right now. And I might be inclined to take them over Montreal's given the production that they've been putting out.
Justin Hall, original draft pick of the Blackhawks in 2010 in the second round. But again, kind of forgot about that. I thought he went on
a while ago,
as well.
Right? Never got a sniff, really.
One thing that kind of shocked me yesterday was Nick Pitan getting time on the power play with Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and the big guns. And they didn't score, obviously. They produced some chances, but this was striking to me. I didn't think, you know, he would immediately be boosted up into the top PP unit after getting called up from the taxi squad a few days ago. But, you know, Keith, he likes to shuffle the lines mid-game and juggle things. And if things aren't working, he'll, you know, he won't be afraid to pull the trigger on pulling one guy out or inserting another guy in. But it's new for fans to see this, considering the time and the tenure, rather, under Babcock. It was a strict, nope, I'm going with this, I'm going with this. I'm going to put Patty Marleau out for the last 2 minutes, blah, blah, blah. But maybe he was just experimenting. As my roommate Spencer said, maybe, you know, this is a strategic move to try and confuse Montreal because they weren't expecting it, which is fair. But I don't know if you'll see much time or ample time in the future, but it was a move that kind of struck me.
I'll tell you what it is. It's necessity. Like, look at the injuries that this team has had. You have Thornton, who's on that first unit, go down. You have Simmons, who is playing on that first unit, go down. You have Nick Robertson, who likely would have slotted in instead of Patan, go down. So all of a sudden you're down three of your options to slot in on that first PP unit. They've really put an emphasis this season on balancing the two units. They don't necessarily want to stack them up all the time. You see it sometimes on a 5-on-3 where they will place that big unit from last year out there to try to take advantage when they have, you know, the two-man advantage and make sure that they're going to score. But outside of that, they want a little bit of balance. So you don't really want to bump Tavares up. You don't really want to bump Nylander up. You know, Jason Spezza has been a stalwart on the back on that second pairing. So then really it's like, who are your options to put in at that? Nick Petan is a guy who's comfortable playing in that sort of a role. He's a skilled player. He's got a little bit of finesse to his game, and he's been playing a lot of power play time, likely down in the AHL with the Toronto Marlies. So he understands the situation. He understands how to play the man advantage. Given him an opportunity, you know, he's not going to really be shooting the puck likely too much on that line, or he'll be getting in trouble at the bench likely if he's not giving the puck to Austin Matthews and rather, you know, just trying to go bar down himself. But I don't mind it from Sheldon Keefe. I think that he's looked good at times. He's got good vision, good awareness. Let's see what happens with this guy. So a good opportunity for Petan, and albeit unexpected circumstances that ultimately led to it. But I wouldn't expect him to stick around in that first power play unit once the team starts to get healthy here.
That's true. And I think he did probably see some time on the PP briefly in his time with Winnipeg. So the Leafs 11-2-1, 4-game winning streak, 8-1-1 in their last 10. They've really distanced themselves from Montreal, 5 points, a 5-point cushion now to divide 1-2 in the Scotia North. Should we get to around the league, Kenny?
Yeah, sure. Let's go. One final thought on the Leafs is that the thing that's been most impressive to me, we mentioned all the injuries, the fact that they've been able to just push through this with their depth. And that's been a lot big conversation over past seasons. The fact that Thornton's went down, the fact that Campbell went down, the fact that Simmons is down, Robertson, and they're just able to plug in guys at the bottom of their lineup and get contributions, I think has been really important for the organization. All right, around the league, do you see Tuukka Rask last night skating to the bench, despite the fact that there was not a delayed penalty on the play?
I was locked into the bud, so I haven't even caught the Bruins highlights yet.
Man, it was too funny. Like, Rask just sort of starts skating to the bench, and I guess he was under the impression that there was a delayed penalty for Boston so that they could get the extra attacker, but that certainly wasn't the case. So everybody started freaking out on the bench. He basically like got within 2 feet of the door and ended up like peeling back into his crease. Nothing bad happened, but pretty funny for Tuukka Rask. He was having a good laugh after the fact, since there was no expense that was going the other way. Mikko Koivu retires from Columbus. The all-time point slayer for Minnesota, second on the list is Marian Gabrick. A little bit surprised at the midseason retirement, Brendan?
He has been an absolute stalwart in Minnesota, and I'm not too surprised. He has paid his dues there and had a very successful career, respectable career point-wise. You know, he didn't win anything Stanley Cup-wise, but this is a good move, and I think it's a well-deserved move.
Speaking of your boy, or speaking of Columbus, rather, Patrick Laine benched by Torts for allegedly lipping off to an assistant coach. Surprised at the friction between these two players?
I kind of predicted this on an earlier episode, but I mean, I kind of like that. Maybe in Winnipeg that went on and Paul Maurice kind of looked the other way, turned a blind eye. But in this instance, Tortorella caught it, and maybe it was a quick little lip or mouth off to equipment staff or an assistant coach. And Torch was like, this is your third game here. I don't care if you have 3 goals in 3 games, because he has been fine in the back of the net immediately. But this is good because they have their stud, they have their star player in the top six, but Torch doesn't care who you are, Kenny. We got to remember that. And you can be the flashiest guy. You can be a fourth line grinder. He's going to treat everybody the same and hold people to a certain standard and make people accountable. So this is something that Laine, I think, is going to learn from. He looked absolutely stunned in the presser when asked about it, but he clearly gets it. He got the message, and he is slowly but surely starting to buy into Torts' philosophy.
Barry Trotz moves into third place on the all-time leaderboard for wins by a coach with 800 plus now. Trotz trails only Scotty Bowman and Joel Quenneville in that category. So pretty impressive career for Trotz, and expect him to continue to climb the leaderboard, albeit catching Quenneville as he's still behind the bench is going to be a difficult task for Trotz.
And Brian Burke is headed back to the NHL from Sportsnet. He's going to be the president of hockey operations for the Pens, and Ron Hextall also will be the GM. So, are they going to shake things up? I mean, you can just tell Burke is elated after missing out on Crosby in 04, finally gets the best player in the game, arguably. I know I'm going to take heat for that.
No, it's a good sniff for Brian Burke as the president of hockey operations. I believe Ron Hextall.
Hextall.
Sorry, I always get them confused. Ron Hextall is going to be the GM of the team. So now it'll be the process for Brian Burke where he gets to come into a situation and decide whether or not to tear it down or try to make another run. A lot of people are saying that this season will likely be a let's see what we got season for Brian Burke, obviously a little bit into the year already. Difficult to kind of shuffle the deck as well during the COVID season with all the restrictions and the flat cap, I think limits what a lot of teams can do. So it'll be interesting to see what Brian Burke's philosophy is moving forward. It certainly isn't going to be easy to start a rebuild when you have Sid and Gino. It certainly isn't going to be easy to send either of those guys out of town if you do want to rebuild. So some big decisions coming down the pipe for the former president of the Calgary Flames.
You talked about how uneven and obviously in this COVID pandemic reduced schedule, there's going to be a ton of games in hand. I mean, you look at New Jersey, for instance, only 9 games played, Toronto 14. I think Vancouver's got like 16 games played, but Vegas, man, only 10 games played and they got 17 points. I mean, across the league, division winners, Tampa and Vegas, I mean, they're not even playing a handful of games and they're still climbing up the ranks, but the Buds still lead the league in points with 23.
Yeah, very impressive. And a bunch of other teams in the division are right at the top as well. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I believe like their record is like 25-6-3 combined for the Tampa Crazy. Bay Lightning, the Boston Bruins, and the Florida Panthers. Those three teams are absolute wagons right now. Can you imagine if all three of these teams were in the same division as they normally are?
It would just
be a total bloodbath.
Yeah.
Like, and this is one of the things that's nice for Toronto this season, at least, and probably for that matter, nice for the Bruins, nice for the Lightning, is that they're all split up from each other. So they have an opportunity to, just dominate the top of their divisions. They get an opportunity at a little bit of a lighter opposition. I know that the Canadian division hasn't looked as strong to this point as we expected it to be coming into this season. But certainly, I think there's still a lot of good teams in the division who will match their potential as the season rolls along here. I just think for Toronto, it's a breath of fresh air that they aren't going to be running into, one of those two teams, 10 times. Well, and if you add the Panthers, playing those three teams, basically, 14, 15 times in the season.
All right, should we hit up the bar?
Back to the bar. You got me sitting at a bar on the inside, waiting for my ride on the outside. She stole my heart in the trailer park. So I jacked the keys to her fucking car and crashed that piece of shit. Then stepped guess away. It was meant to be. Romance is misery, so much for memories. And now I'm headed to the penitentiary. See me on TV.
So I think personally I gotta stop betting, or at least betting against the GOAT, because I could have been at the library bar this week. I didn't lose too much money on the Super Bowl, but I'm gonna say pretty simple, and he probably is there right now. Rob Gronkowski is at the library bar. Did you see Brady heave the Lombardi trophy like 10 feet or something over to a Gronk's boat? I mean, oh my god, man. Imagine that just plunged right in the water.
It was a fake trophy. It had to have been.
Oh my god. I was fooled, man.
It's gotta be a situation where it's like, how they have 2 Stanley Cups. Like, there's no way that they're just letting these guys just like take the Lombardi trophy out, just wheel around. Like,
are you gonna say no to Brady and Gronk though?
Atlantic Ocean. Well, like, come on. It's like, it looks like the real trophy. I'm assuming this is one of those like where there's a replica and they keep the real one like stashed away. Like, I understand why people were bugging out about it, but ultimately nothing happened. So it's no harm, no foul. I'm going with Tom Brady at the bar again, based off of what you had said before. This guy was absolutely pickled.
Oh my God. He was done. He was done. He had to be carried out pretty much.
Oh my God. Yeah. Sea legs aren't what it used to be. That's why I took away from seeing that clip. It was so funny from Tom. There's a guy that's, takes everything so seriously all the time, takes his health so seriously. You don't expect him to overindulge like that. But he was obviously having a good time. When you're drinking in the sun like that as well, you could really catch up with you if you aren't wearing proper like hats, sunscreen. Like, you're just going to get so dehydrated so quickly. So congratulations to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers again for winning the Super Bowl. Very impressive, but Tom Brady is certainly going to want to stay away from the bar, it seems like, for a little while after the boat parade in Tampa a day ago.
Yes. Well, I remember when he was on Kimmel a few years ago, he just chugged a beer, a pint, no problem. So maybe he was mixing or whatever. I mean, I'm not criticizing Brady for getting wasted. I thought it was hilarious, and rightfully so. You can do what you want after you got 7 Super Bowl rings. So congrats. Brady and Gronk are going to be at the Library Bar all week. All right, let's get to tweet of the day, Kenny.
So this is, I got a couple here. One's from Luke Fox, just suggesting that Sheldon Keefe says the Maple Leafs are now using 3 or 4 different dressing rooms to keep players spread out and keep it socially distanced. I think this is a smart thing from the Toronto Maple Leafs to make sure that they can stay healthy, because that's ultimately going to be, I think, a big factor this season, is which teams are able to sort of stay off the COVID board and keep all their players in the lineup rather than having to miss a bunch of games. And then inherently also make up a bunch of games at the end of the season. I think that that will definitively play a factor in the way that these divisions shake out down the road.
Mine's going to Justin Cuthbert, and it was a soundbite from Superman, AKA Ilya Mikheyev. And it was Ilya Mikheyev, : I just keep working. Indeed, he does. And, you know, you can obviously see that the weight would be kind of growing on his shoulders a little bit, but Keith was really, really pumping his tires a lot early in the season, said, you know, he's doing a lot of things away from the puck. The production on the score sheet will come, and finally it does come. And sometimes it just takes a scrappy goal, a garbage goal, a parked in front, and duff it in to get your confidence going. And you could see, as I alluded to before, he was just ecstatic once he got the insurance marker for the Buds.
Yeah. Congratulations for Mikheyev to get that monkey off his back. Hopefully that gets him moving forward. Also, I don't know if you saw this one, but Nick Suzuki, and like, it's the verified account, so I'm pretty sure it's like the correct account. I don't know if this is a troll job or like whatever the hell was going on. But Nick Suzuki, prior to the game, tweeting out Toronto versus Montreal, go Leafs go, # Leafs Nation, # NHL, # NHL faceoff.
October 1, 2013. I was first year at Queens.
Okay. That's so funny. I didn't even read the date on it. I was like, this doesn't even make any sense.
Imagine just like, in the dressing room, like just hour before puck drop, just like, all right, I'm locked in as well, but I get to play the Leafs.
I just I saw this like trending around, and I get like, that's so funny that I didn't even read the date. But I was like, what's going on here? I was like, was he on his phone like just before puck drop?
Yeah,
he's like in the pre-game locker room, like tweeting. Yeah. It's like, this is unreal.
Oh man, you know what? I've been fooled before, Kenny. Like when you sent me a screenshot of a knockoff Elliot Friedman burner account regarding a haul for Ethan Bear straight up, and I was like, what?
I think you sent that to me.
Oh, I sent that to you. Yeah,
you sent that to me. And you're like,
I bought it.
Oh, big trade. And I was like, no, that's
you're like, yo, take a look again.
Yeah, look again. Gotta read the fine print. Anyways, very funny that was trending last night, and very like Leafs Twitter, to be quite frank, to dig up these old tweets of their rivals and sort of just parade them around for everybody to see.
All right, so up next on the docket, Montreal and Toronto once again, Saturday night hockey on Hockey Night in Canada, even though that really doesn't exist anymore. We can still call it Hockey Night in Canada, whatever.
Hockey Night in Canada every day of the week.
Every day of the week, buddy. It's hockey year in Canada.
Yeah.
And
true.
Then in the meat of the month, we're going to have a 3-game series set against the Sens, which should be an easy way to rack up more points. And then Calgary comes in, and later in the month, they've been kind of struggling to find their rhythm. So pretty good matchup, favorable for the Leafs coming up.
Yeah. And don't forget the secondary match against Montreal again next Saturday night. So they have 3 right. against Ottawa this week, and then it's against Montreal again on the following Saturday. So
nice.
Depending on the results. Yeah. It'll be some good quality hockey sandwiched in between some games with the Senators. I would expect a competitive team to come out of Ottawa. They're going to turn around at some point. Matt Murray's looked better in his last couple starts for the Sens. So don't be just glossing over them as perhaps I did earlier on in the season, but yes, it should certainly be an opportunity for Toronto to solidify, I'd say, at least another 4 points in the 3 games against Ottawa. Well, one of them a back-to-back as well. So that'll be good for Leaf fans to watch for a lot of hockey. That'll be 5 games really in 7 days. So team will be tired by the time Montreal rolls in next Saturday night.
And you got the Raps game tonight, Kenny. I'm going to continue my coverage with the Australian Open. Unfortunately, we lost Bianca Andreescu, who fell in straight sets in the second round. But a big, juicy matchup on the men's side, Dennis versus Felix. I believe they've only played once, and Felix had to retire due to injury. So that is sports media eye candy.
Well, exciting for the Canadian media, certainly. But I got to be honest, I wish that they weren't playing each other at this point in the tournament, because it means that one of them is going to be knocked out.
One, and that's
one less Canadian to follow through the stretch here, and definitely give the edge to Chapeau over Felix Auger-Aliassime. But for Canadian tennis fans, that'll be a must watch match. Yeah. I've got a full day scheduled today. I'm doing a Leafs lunch on TSN 1050 at a high noon. Then I'm sticking around for game day and then the Raptors game tonight. So full day of shows for me at the station. And, yeah, that's
so you got
on my toes.
You got an appetizer, entree, and a dessert. So what are we calling this? Are we calling this our bar snacks? This is your warm up session, I guess, right?
Yeah, I suppose that's it. Yeah, this is
it's your hors d'oeuvres. It's your pre appetizer.
Yeah, this is just the hors d'oeuvres before the meal. So
what's that little drink you have What's that drink you have at like bougie restaurants before you have your main entree? Like isn't it like a mouche bouche?
No, I think that's also like an appetizer.
Oh, okay.
No, I think I don't know if there's a fancy name for it. You just have like a traditional cocktail, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, I thought it was a mouche bouche.
Anyways, I digress. Thank you for listening to this episode of Not Another Leafs Podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. A reminder, this podcast brought to you by DraftKings. Use code THPN on sign up for exclusive deals. Catch you next time.